Okay, so let's recap a little bit what we spoke about last class. We touched upon something, and the topic title was Zehira B'Shmir Shabbat. Why we are so careful when it comes to following the laws of Shabbat. And we spoke about the various ways that Shabbat is very, very, very strict when it comes to the punishments, the onshim, that come from breaking Shabbat. Okay, so more on the Shomer Shabbat as opposed to the Zachor. Because remember, Shomer, if you remember for your midterms, refers to the Lamed Tet Melachot. So that was last class. We touched upon that. And we say we don't know the reward for mitzvot, but we do know the punishments for mitzvot in Olam Hazeh, in this world. And the greater the punishment, though, you can assume the greater the reward. Okay, so in that vein, let's look at a very famous Chofetz Chaim on page 63. And I've wrote down the verse on the board so you can see it clearly. And the verse that we shall be examining inside, actually one word of it, is Beini or Bein Bnei Yisrael, between me and the Jewish people. Sorry, this is a sere, not a chirish. Beini, two dots. Between me, or Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people, Ot Hi Liolam. It is a eternal sign, that's right. Between me and the Jewish people, Ot Hi Liolam. Now, we spoke a little bit about Israel, that Shabbat is a unique relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people, which is why we said only Jewish people are permitted to keep Shabbat. It's a very personal mitzvah between us and Hashem. We said if a non-Jew wants to keep other mitzvot, in many cases they're entitled to do that. We don't have a monopoly on them. If they want to do that, yishar kochem, that's fine. However, when it comes to Shabbat, it's a unique thing. But then the Pasuk changes it and says a little bit more. It says it is an eternal sign, an os or an oat. What does that word mean? What is it referring to? What is it referring to? So, let's talk a little bit about signs, shall we? Let's talk a little bit about signs. First of all, a few mitzvot I will refer to as signs in the Torah. Do you know what they are? Three that I can think of, three major ones, that have this appellation, this title that are connected to them. Because if they have that same title, you can assume there's some connection between them, right? If they're called the same thing. I mean, mitzvot aren't called randomly or described randomly. So let's have a look at the other mitzvot that are called an oat. And maybe we can learn out from them something about Shabbat. Or maybe from Shabbat we can learn something out from them. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Yeah? We call it together, ladies? Yes.
Is Brit one?
Yes. Actually, it is. Very good. Brit Milan. Are they Brit? It's not referring to a British person. Just so you know, Brit is a covenant, or actually more importantly, a promise. Okay? Actually, someone once said that the British people maybe are like lost Jews from the past, right? Because they're British. Brit-ish. And then someone said, no, it can't be, because the country's called Britain. Britain.
Wait, how does Brit Milan?
Yes, it's referred to as an oath in the Torah. It's referred to as an oath, as a sign, yeah. This, we're saying, what we're discussing now, we're saying this word oath, or oat, an important word, is used a few, it's used more than that, by the way, but three main mitzvot are referred to as an oath, as a sign. So let's figure out what they are, then let's talk about what a sign is, and then let's try to figure out what's going to do with Shabbat, and then from that we're going to learn out the other mitzvot, okay? So we're going to go on a little journey today, and we're going to look at the sources and what the Chofetz Chaim has to say about it. Yes, another mitzvah, Gabriel. I'm not sure if that particular word is used to describe it. I could be wrong. Yeah?
Maybe like Pesach or eating matzah
or something. No, not that I know of. Well, Shabbat is the second one, obviously. Alright. What's the third one? The third one is tefillin. Tefillin. Phylacteries, as they are known. Now, that's very, very interesting what you just said. This is actually the reason that men do not wear tefillin on Shabbat. Because you need to have two signs on you all the time. I never Brit. And Shabbat, you have two already. You have two witnesses. You don't need the third. So that's actually the reason Are they two signs? Two signs. You need to have two signs.
You don't need it, you're not allowed to.
You're not allowed to.
You're not allowed to.
Right, because you don't need it, it becomes muksa. So therefore, tefillin not placed on a person, Brit Mila and Shabbat are there.
But okay. Same concept.
Women have, this is not just a physical thing, there's also an idea that women carry with them this Brit with them the entire time. Okay? It's a very interesting discussion on that, by the way, in the Kabbalah, how they don't need to do that because they have it internally. So they have this sign, this covenant on them all the time. Okay.
As in, like, they're born with it?
As in, yes.
But how is it different from, like, a Christian woman or any other?
They're not part of that covenant because they're not from our tradition. If you come through as a Jewish person, you become part of that bris, that covenant that was made with the Jewish people. Men have to do an extra thing in order to... That's very common, by the way. Men have to do something in order to attain it. Men have to, as my wife says... Actually, I mentioned this in Shul on Shabbat when I spoke. Men have to attain it. We have to maintain it. That's how my wife describes it. That's a good summary. Little catchphrasey, I know, but that's a good summary. Okay? A Brit's actually a promise, to be accurate. That's a better... Right? Covenant doesn't really mean too much of it, but a promise. I made a promise with the Jewish people, but a Brit is a real promise that cannot be broken. Yeah.
Let's say someone can't...
Okay.
Can they...
Still, if they can't have, that's still part of the Jewish people.
No, do they always have to, like, would they be
waiting for you? No. No one wears tefillin Shabbat. It's talking as a general klal. As a general klal. Okay, so those are the three. So someone's going to connect these three. So let's discuss what a sign is. Will someone please tell me what a sign does? What does a sign do? Any sign.
It's like a marker.
It reminds you.
A marker, okay. What does that mean, a marker?
Kind of going off with the class, like it's like a, it guides you to like where you need to be, like a stop
okay,
sign.
Very good. Right, so it guides you, right? It guides you. Like a stop sign tells you to stop. Exactly. It guides you. What else do signs do? Yes?
Remind you.
It's a reminder, right? Such as?
Shabbat.
Well, give me a general sign.
Gas station.
Right, coming up. We've got a gas station coming up. Okay, reminder. Right? Exit soon. Right? Something's coming up. Coming up. Right? You don't have to exit, but tell you something's coming up. It guides you. Signs guide you. But they also notify you. And they remind you of something. That's good. I like that. This is called thinking, by the way. I like this. This is good, people. It's very good. You know, someone said, unfortunately, university lectures are information from the professor's notes going to the student's notes without passing through the minds of either.
Yeah.
Right. It's a shame, though. Right, it's worth thinking once more. Yes. You had something to say? Anybody else? Rachel?
It could be like how Rachel and Yaakov.
Everyone's so religious over here. Taking religious examples.
Well, they
okay,
have
thank
sign,
you.
So it could be like, how would I?
Go on. That's a siman. Yeah, what was a siman?
It was like to kind of close a deal. Like you could have a sign.
Okay. You sign. That's very clever. I haven't thought about that. You sign something to close a deal. I'll give you that. Okay. Right. A sign comes to close a deal. Yeah?
Symbolizes.
It what?
Symbolizes.
Give me an example of it symbolizing something.
So, if you occupy your Jew.
If you occupy your Jew. Not necessarily, but okay, fine. So that is a sign that you are... it identifies something. Let's go with that, yeah? Is that fair?
Yeah.
You identify something. Right? Right, there's always a sign when you come into a country, right? You're now in... You know, America, right? You're now in Canada. You're now in New Jersey. Or worse, you're now in Brooklyn. That's not really all that nice. Okay, so identifies, right? I make a lot of fun of Brooklyn, by the way, because my wife's in Brooklyn, so I take full authority to do that, right? It identifies something. Because of the sign, I know what it is. So it describes what that thing is. Is that fair? It describes something. Yeah? Interesting. Now we're thinking. Any more? So I always get different answers for this. How about it warns you? Do signs warn you?
Yeah.
Right? Danger, keep out, stay away. Right? It comes with a warning as well. Be careful. Watch out. Don't go there. Careful what you do, where you step, what you say, I don't know. Is that fair? They warn you? Any others I haven't thought about? Okay, so that's pretty good. They guide you. They remind you. They signify something's happened, closing a deal. They identify and describe the thing itself. And they warn you about something, about a potential danger, something you have to be wary of and careful about. Okay. So let's do the Chofetz Chaim outside, and then we'll do it inside. Right, because it's a very beautiful example, I think. And then we'll try to stick it onto this somehow, and then we'll look at the piece inside so you can see the original, because in my class, I want you to see the original words of the rabbi himself. Okay. Imagine walking around the city, and you see a store that says Ellie's Bagels. Okay, sign outside, Ellie's Bagels. Tell me, Lizzie, two things I know about said establishment, Ellie's Bagels. Two things.
Probably kosher.
In Manhattan, probably kosher. That's interesting. It's not necessarily kosher, Lizzie. No, in Manhattan, it's not.
I know
very big. So number one, I know they sell bagels. If I'm looking to buy hardware, not the right place to go. That's true. Very, very good. So Ellie's Bagel sells bagels. What else do I know about said establishment? It's Ellie's. There was some Israeli, most likely, who came from Israel, got involved in the bagel making business. What's the bagel joke?
It's holy. Why do seagulls fly by the sea and not by the bay?
Otherwise,
they'd be called
bagels. Say that again.
Why do seagulls fly by the sea and not by the bay?
Why do seagulls swim by the sea and
fly
by the sea, not by the bay? Because then there wouldn't be seagulls, there'd be bagels. Oh, very good. That wasn't a joke. Very well done. Well done.
Why did you
have
How, that was ready to come out.
My dad
was so good.
My dad always has that joke every single time we're home. It's very painful. So I'm glad you guys
Tell your father for me, when you send this lecture, that I appreciate him annoying you with the same joke every single week. That's what a great father is, by the way. I do the same thing with my kids, and they look at me, they groan at me, and I laugh. It's a good son of a good father. What was I going to say, Whitney?
Juicy bagels
because
they're holy.
Juicy bagels because they're holy. Juicy bagels because they're holy. Lizzie, these people don't want me to sing in my class. How many times have you heard that joke from me?
Like
a million times. Okay, great. So we know that somebody called Ellie, right, is operating the store at some point. Okay, now probably sold it 5,000 times, but until that point, it was Ellie's Bagels. Let's say I turn up to Ellie's Bagels one day, because I enjoy his yummy, delicious bagels, and I see that the lights are off, the doors are locked, and all of the chairs are on the table. What do I know about Ellie's Bagels?
It's closed.
Okay. I come back a week later, and the same sight greets me. Lights are off, doors are locked, chairs are up on the table. But this time, there's one small difference. The sign outside the store that says Ellie's Bagels has been taken down. Now what do I know? Out of business. Out of business. That one small change has very big repercussions. I know the sign comes down, Ellie's Bagels is no more. This word sign does something else besides these other very important things you pointed out today, which I'm very impressed with, this list of five. It tells you you're in business. No sign, no business. The Jewish people have a sign. And on their sign is written a few things. First and foremost, Shabbat. And Brit Milah and Tefillin. Which means that if it were to happen that one of these three signs would be removed from the Jewish people, no more Jewish people. Which also helps us understand why out of all the mitzvot which have disappeared from our people, I mean, some literally, the temple, the sacrifices, we're still in business. Most of the mitzvot we can't even perform nowadays probably. Especially not living in Eretz Yisrael. Impossible, you can't do. Half of them, 53%, can only be kept in the land of Israel anyway. But we're still the Jewish people. That's because none of them are our main signs. This is the sign of the Jewish people. Now, we were given a promise. Listen very carefully. This is very important. We were given a promise. Avraham Avinu was promised, and Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and all that Moshe Rabbeinu, that the Jewish people would always be there. La'olam. We would always be there. Therefore, it must be that we were told that these three mitzvot will always exist somehow among our people. It had to be. It had to be. There's something about these three that actually identify us, they guide us, they remind us, they're part of the deal, if you will, they identify us as a people. If you can get into these three, they are what we are all about. They are the sign above the Jewish door called the Jewish people, which must run a business. Sometimes it's locked, sometimes it's closed, sometimes we're short of customers, sometimes we have to refurbish. I don't know, the metaphor can carry on and on and on. But one thing's for sure, the sign is always there. These three must exist, at least among a part of our people, forever. And by the way, it's actually also almost counterintuitive, because Brit Milah, you know what I'm saying? Although there are groups now trying to stop Brit Milah for whatever reasons, small groups, sects among our people, very sadly. However, amazingly, for thousands of years, right, even the most secular Jew, right, was, I've got to give my son a Brit Milah. Right? And actually, it's the mitzvah for the parent, not for the kid. People make a mistake. It's not a mitzvah for the kid. The kid doesn't have any choice in it. It's the mitzvah for the parents to bring their child forward. Big, big mitzvah. Okay, that's really who the mitzvah belongs to. Unless they didn't give the child a Brit Milah, and then the child became 13, right? Like, or 20 or 25. I mean, I know people in their 20s who arrived here from Russia who didn't have a Brit Milah, and they had a Brit Milah later on. That became their obligation on the parents. It actually transfers, right, from the parents down to the child. Himself. But this is like remained with us quite fantastically. I mean, it's amazing if you think about it. Right? Tefillin. It's a known thing. Do wear tefillin, right? And many groups within the Jewish people will do a wonderful job of pushing that mitzvah. They realize this is the mitzvah to do. They're not. And then Shabbat. Shabbat is the ultimate sign. So what we're going to do right now, I'll take questions and say, let's just go through the piece itself, because I don't want the class to go by without us learning a piece. Let's have a look at how the Chofetz Chaim describes this idea so beautifully. Top of page 63, look inside. HaTorah korat l'Shabbat oneg. The Torah calls Shabbat an oat, a sign. By the way, also calls it an oneg, but that's another discussion for later. A joyful occasion. Beinu v'en b'nei Yisrael, oot hiliolam. Between me and the Jewish people, it is an eternal sign. Eternal means forever, right? Now, that's interesting as well, because there are other people who have kidnapped our religion. Other religions have done that, and they don't keep Shabbat. Or move it to another day. That's very interesting. Because the Torah itself says forever, but we'll leave that aside. Ki, Sheshim Asa Hashem Atashma Veraz, because in 6 days Hashem created the heavens and the earth. Uviyom Ashvi, Shabbat V'Nefash, on seventh day he rested. That's in Shemot, Lamed Aleph, Yud Zayin. Bior Niflis. I've got an amazing interpretation from the Chafetz Chaim. Okay? Why it would be that the Shabbat is referred to as an os. And remember, if Shabbat's called an os, the other mitzvot that are called the same thing are connected. And he gives the example. He just gave, "V'hu dom melacha mebale melacha ma'meschar." This is like a person who owns a store. Shemitziv al beitu mechutz eizo ot. He puts a shelet. He puts a sign. Umitzayan, right? Some kind of like a shelet, a thing. Lefnei kol melach tor melchasar, which has got all the information you need to know about the business. V'nei kol zman she'od nitzav al abayit mebechutz. The whole time that the sign is there, outside of the business with the name of the business on it, Mores teaching us, Lanu, everybody, Shabbat Malacha Zehu Dar Adayim B'dirazu. You know, this person is still doing business in that place. Or this person is still living in that house, if they have the name on the outside of the house. Af Im Lefamim, even though, once in a while, Noselet Derech Alei Ziyamim. Maybe the person will leave for some days in order to do business. Bekomakom Adayin Lo Eked Dirato. But that person still resides in that residence, right? Mehabayit Hazeh Mikol V'Kol, because the sign is still there, so they're still living there. Even though they leave, they haven't left totally. Masha Ein Ken, however, fifth line down, Kishenitala Ot Mibichutz, but when that sign is taken, Le Kovo Maka Mecher, and put somewhere else, Muchach is selling you something, Shabal Malacha, that this business owner, Hazeh, Kvar Ikaderato, has now removed themselves from this place. This place is no longer their place. They are no longer identified by this place. This place does not house them, does not contain them. Mikol, Bakol, at all. Ma'abayta zeva enu mitzui boklal. You will not find this person in that place. That's the mashal. Let us have a look at the... What do you learn from the mashal? Nimshal. Ken hu mamash b'ini Shabbat. Says the Chafetz Chaim. This is exactly what Shabbat is. Kihu ot, it is the sign. Look at these beautiful words. Hameid, that testifies. Shashemit barach barat olam, that God created the world. That's one of the reasons which the pasuk itself says, right? That's why the ot is that I created the world in the 7 days, because that is the sign. B'sheshit yom v'nach b'yom ha'shvi, and rested on the seventh. V'ugam kein ot al ish, but it's also a sign about the person, Yisrael, the Jewish person, hanosed nes, who puts the sign upon themselves. So we all have a personal sign that we carry with us. Meaning the person who fulfills and keeps Shabbat. That they believe in God. That he created the world. And keeps creating. Right? Keeps it going. And Hashem is the creator of all. And that's why we're obligated. This is Hashem's world. We are living in it. And how do we represent this idea? By keeping Shabbat. Shabbat is that sign. And when a person really has this faith in God, oh, as we said, Bet Emunah is faithfulness in God. What happens is the holiness enters the holiness of Hashem enters that person's heart. Right? And he quotes the verse, Ki ot hi beni b'nechem b'doratechem, l'dat ki ani Hashem mekatshachem. The ot verse is mentioned elsewhere. And it says that it's between me and the Jewish people for their generations, not just for you, I'm talking to in the midbar, for everyone, l'dat, so that you can know ki ani Hashem mekatshachem, that makes you holy. So now he says, one of the ways that we sanctify ourselves and make ourselves a holy people is through Shabbat, by having that sign. V'yalzeh gam kein remes ha-kosov, and that is why the verse hints, V'asuli mikdash v'shochanti betocham. Now, that's interesting. He's making a connection, which the Torah makes, and actually, halakhically is made as well, between Shabbat, that is called Kadosh, and the Mishkan, the tabernacle, that was also called Kadosh. And we were told to make the Mishkan, so now we jump to the Mishkan. Mishkan was called Kadosh. Actually, the command to make the Mishkan was, make the Mishkan, v'shachanti b'tocham, and I'm going to live, dwell among... Now, there's two ways to understand that. One way, I will dwell among it. That means my presence will be in the Mishkan. But there's another interpretation. I will dwell among b'tocham is among you, inside you. That is the two ways to interpret that verse. This is a very famous extrapolation they make from this verse. Right? The command was to make a Mikdash and the Mishkan. Make for me this holy place and I'll dwell among you. Okay. Says the Chofetz Chaim, B'tochem mamish, inside you, literally. K'mashim shinu mamfarshim, as the commentators talk about, and they do. So he's like, well, if the Mishkan is called Kadosh, and by building it, Hashem's holiness enters into us, so to Shabbat, that is called Kadosh, has the same power. If you remember from early in the semester and your midterms, the connection between the Mishkan, the Beit HaMikdash, and Shabbat is very real and very apparent. Even all the laws of Shabbat are learnt out from the Mishkan as well. All the items and Kalim in the Mishkan are learnt out from Shabbat. Right? So too over here, that is how you get Hashem's holiness inside you. Okay, let's just finish off the page and then we'll take questions. So now, page 64, Chofetz Chaim is going to get more verbal about this, the warning aspect of it, because signs also warn. Al kein, therefore, im chas v'shalom mechalat Shabbat, if a person, heaven forbid, profanes and breaks and is mechalel, or mechalel, right, come from chilul, right? An empty, a void, they create a void in this world of Shabbat by not keeping it. Bezeh hu misalik od mi'al atzmo. By doing so, you've actually removed the sign from upon yourself. Umare, and you are demonstrating, shebepnimiyut levavo, that somewhere in your heart, kvar enu dar ish Yisrael. You remove this whole Jewish persona from yourself. Hamamen b'shem yibrach, that even you believe in God. You've removed the holiness of God mitoch levavo, from your hearts. The alkenam, that's why the rabbis say, kol machalal et Shabbat. That's why the rabbis say that if you are machal at Shabbat, kilu kafar b'chol Torah kula, that actually you've removed all the Torah from yourself. Why could it be? Other mitzvot have gone from our people, still the Jewish people. A person may not do a certain mitzvah, he still considers to be part of our people. He's like, but Shabbat is so informative, it's so demonstrative of who we are as a people, as who you are as a person, that you remove that, the rest of Torah goes with it. It's a very extreme comment. Right? It's a very extreme comment. The other mitzvah you don't do. You should do them, you don't do them. But Shabbat, nah. You've made yourself an outsider. Okay. And then he gives a beautiful mashal. And this is found elsewhere of the Chofetz Chaim. In the Chofetz Chaim Chayavu Pola, the life and deeds of the Chofetz Chaim. Et Shabbat b'sayin chazal k'manat tova. We spoke about Shabbat being referred to as a good gift. Remember that? Shakarish baruch hu Israel. Hashem gave us that gift. Pamim cholav roges ben chatan of kala. Sometimes husbands and wives disagree. They argue, like they fight with each other. It happens. Afal pi kein. However, kol od. This is a very beautiful and very beautiful mashal. Kol od loch zira kala lechatanet. Matonatav, the whole time they just remove the gifts that she received, right? The ring from her finger, the jewelry she received, the whole time she has them on, no matter how bad the gift is, no matter how bad the fight is, the gifts that she keeps wearing, the engagement ring, for example, now that shows she's still married, right? The wedding ring is like the Rabbi Adua Hashidach Terem Batel. But once these things come off and she returns the ring or the jewelry goes back, you know it's finished. Shidduch's done. Okay? No matter how bad the fight is, if she holds on to the jewelry, the shidduch still stands. Kach hu gam b'matan ha-tova she-shabbat shema. So too, the great gift, right, which Shabbat is called. Kol od ha-kala, the entire time the Jewish people, i.e. the bride over here and the Jewish people are connected, machzike b'matan ha-zu, when they hold on to this gift, ot hu al Va'ar shatchar liolam. I am betrothed to you. Vasterich liolam. I'm betrothed to you forever. Shabrit ben Israel who kutshabruchu lo hufra. The whole time we hold on to this gift, right? So the gift over here is not the gift between us and Hashem is not the ring, the jewelry. It's Shabbat. So if you keep Shabbat, you can do a lot of other mistakes, which we all do, but you're still in that relationship. You're having turbulence, having trouble, but the relationship still stands. It still stands. Yes. Over here, the Nimshal, Chofetz Chaim is comparing Shabbat to that gift, that engagement ring. Maybe that's the modern day equivalent. But the ring comes off, the wedding ring comes off, we're done. Right? Right? You can even get kicked out for a few days. I don't recommend you kick your husbands out of the house for a few days, by the way. Come to me if you have any problems. I'll be happy to make sure that you stay together as best as I can. However, once the ring comes off, it's not looking good, right? It's not looking good. That we know. Okay? All right.